morning, everyone. What a beautiful, splendid morning this is. We thank the Lord for that. We have some special people here who haven't been here in a while. Where'd she go? There she is. Joyce is here, back for a visit. Not like she hasn't touched base with anybody she's already met. So be sure to go downstairs for fellowship time. I know, honey. I know. We have a couple of others who have not been with us in a while. We have Herb and Rogine in the back. Yay! We're so glad they could make it. So welcome, everyone, to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. We have lots of things in our bulletin. Please be sure to read it. I know I won't get them all. Lisa may have an announcement.
Oh, I have such good news. Yesterday we took 3,000 pounds.
Wow!
3,000 pounds. So basically, April's announcing and Pastor Tim loaded it all up and unloaded it. And so the youth group now has $700 more than we did.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible. I think I could go through my closet at least one more time. Awesome. The flowers this morning are from Lisa for the beginning of our fall season and our Sunday school starting. All these good things that are happening among us right now as fall begins. So, are there any other announcements? Peggy?
Yes. If you have given a donation for or a love offering for the Corlettes and you have not received your thank you tunta, please come see me and I will make you one special. And our Friday night, Crafty Friday, we're starting to make poinsettia flowers for our Light Up the Town. We're hoping there's going to be some Light Up the Town, and you know, we're just going to make the flowers. I'm thinking maybe we can do garland, we can do pins, or they could just be flowers that you could put on the wreaths that you also want to make. So, I won't be there next week.
This Friday.
Ruth is in charge.
Okay.
Ruth is going to be the teacher if anybody wants to come in. If you have your own craft, come on down.
What?
Fellowship with us. It's wonderful. Not everybody wants to wet shelf. We have one knitter.
Mr.
So I'm sorry. Enjoy. It's a nice night. Glenn is giving free guitar lessons, but he has had no takers.
So there's an opening.
But there's an opening. He's feeling kind of sad because no one's coming to get a guitar lesson.
Somebody will take him up on the offer, I'm sure.
And
all right.
And then want to come down there because there is a lot of estrogen in that room.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Friday nights might be a place to go if you're bored, because I don't think you will be there. Wonderful. I had just thought of something else. My sister is reminding me Monday, tomorrow morning, 39ers starting back up. This is a co-ed group, so come and join the fun. We're in Psalms, and we might be in John. We're doing John first, and then going from there. So the book of John, if you want to have a read ahead. But by all means, don't think you have to study outside. Come and just be among us. So, and that will be downstairs in fellowship room.
Bring your Bible.
Bring your Bible, because we do read. And 9:30 downstairs. Awesome. Anything else? I think we're good. Now, this little song that we're going to be singing first, Trish is lovely. She is going to play through the whole thing first so that we get the rhythm. So if you would all rise for our song. please join me in our call. Praise be to you, O Lord God, of our ancestral Israel, from everlasting to everlasting.
Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours.
Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all.
Wealth and honor come from you, and you rule over all.
In your hand are power and might to make great and give strength to all.
Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name.
Let us sing once again.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. We do love you. We worship you. We bless you, Lord. You have gathered us together. This is your family. And there's a family feel today, and we worship you, Lord. One heart, one mind, one voice. Worthy is the Lamb. Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of your love, Heavenly Father, sacrificing your Son. And we believe in Jesus. He brings us together. He makes us new. He brings healing. He brings reconciliation and an unimaginable unity that comes together, even now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading this morning is in the book of Genesis, chapter 29. Verses 21 through 35, you'll find that on page 23 in the Pew Bible. Then Jacob said to Laban, Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed. So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah, and Jacob said to Laban, What is this you've done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me? Laban said, This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week for this one and return to serving me another 7 years. So Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. He served Laban for another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son, and she named him Reuben, for she said, Because the Lord has looked on my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son, and said, Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also, and she named him Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son and said, Now this time my husband will be joined to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore he was named Levi. She conceived again and bore a son and said, This time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she named him Judah. Then she ceased bearing. The second reading is in the book of Romans. Chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Seated as the children come forward. Come on up, kids. Come on up. Hey, it is so good to see you. It is so good to see you. See those smiling faces, huh? So happy that you're here. Do you know how much you are loved? Do you know how much you're loved and cared for? Hey, I want you to meet a friend of mine. Don't be afraid, okay? It says, don't worry, be crabby. She looks kind of scary. She reminds me of my third grade teacher. Well, she needs some love too, you know? She needs some love. There was one student, she did not like Ron Pulio. Oh, he got in a lot of trouble. But I feel for Mrs. Mortz. Boy, it's all coming back, flashbacks. Ooh. Well, we'll put the friend away. But there are some wonderful things that God wants you to know, that you are loved no matter what. You know, Ron Pulio got in trouble all the time, and I don't think the teacher ever smiled at him. But you are loved even if... Did we ever do anything wrong? I did. Sometimes I'm naughty. Sometimes I got in trouble, you know. But no matter what, you are so loved. Here at church, you are cherished. It's so great that you guys are here. If you look out there, there's so many smiling faces. Look out there. Look around. Look at how faces are shining upon you. They're sparkling eyes. But most importantly, Lisa, a little bit later, is going to be talking about Leah. And there's a lot of words on the bulletin. Outside of her, there are some hard words. But inside, written on her body there, there's some wonderful things. God loves you. He delights in you. He has called you by name. You are his. You are chosen. You are wanted. You are blessed. You are sons and daughters, a child of God. No matter what. No matter if we do something wrong today, God loves us, and that will never, ever change. And you know whose face lights up the most? Jesus. We see Jesus in one another, but Jesus is so pleased with each and every one of you that you are here at church. He delights in you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And you can believe in him. You can trust him. You can trust him every day. You can learn about him every day and tell other people about Jesus. Tell them that Jesus loves them. If I could, Mrs. Moritz, Jesus loves you. You can smile. Don't worry, be happy, not crabby, Mrs. Moritz, okay? So let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the children. I just pray that you would bless them indeed. Just pour out your love upon them. Let them know that they are yours. They are yours, no matter what. No matter what. Just bless them today. Draw them to you, Lord Jesus. May they see you, Almighty God, and Lord Jesus Christ. May they see you and everyone that's part of this church. even those outside, that they would see you every day. So keep smiling upon them. Just bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for coming. So glad you are here.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, this is such a great day. We praise your name. We come before you to worship and give thanks, to appreciate each and every blessing, even in the midst of what we suffer here on earth. Oh Lord, we just want to just love you the way you love us. Well, we have so much to learn. We want to lift up today Joyce coming back, that she have safe travels for Herb and Regine. It's so hard for them to get here, and yet they're in our presence. Lord, just thank you for these little things. Sometimes in our lives they seem so big, and you know what it means to you that they have come among us. We can't help but love it. Lord, we ask for just prayers for Nick and Jen's family, all of the family. I can't even name all the names. But Deb passed away this last week, and we just want to lift them up, Lord, that family is taken care of and loved by you in every way you could possibly pour it out into their lives. And Dawn Johnson, as well, as they celebrate her brother's life today, this afternoon, in fact, from noon to four up in Bantam at the firehouse. Oh, Lord, we just thank you that when families come together, it's to celebrate the life of someone who is now past, and to remember them, and to be able to just talk to one another and understand that loss. So Lord, we're just before you, Lord. Now others may also now pray for their concerns in their own lives and all the things going on among all of us. Lord, we thank you for the blessings, even in the midst of all that is going on in our lives. We lift all these things up to you in Jesus' name.
I've never been perfectly when you hear this sermon. Am I correct? And I don't have one of those fancy movie star things on, rock star things. I don't know. Okay. Remember when you were a kid? I can't wait till my birthday. Then you were a teenager. Once I make the team, all will be well. Or pretty soon I get my license. Then you're on to college. What job am I going to get? Then you become a young adult. Once I get that promotion. And now some of us are saying, when things calm down a little bit, I'm going to start saving, and then I can retire. That desired thing is just around the corner, isn't it? So what is it you long for? What needs to happen for things to be just right? Today's Bible heroine is Leah. She is the sister of Rachel. Now, I don't have a sister. I always assured myself that I'm better off without a sister after learning this Bible story. I was convinced I would be the Leah, and I didn't want to be in competition with a more beautiful, more loved sister like Rachel. And honestly, I have the best brother in the whole world, so who needs a sister when you have Tim? So today we're going to look at Leah and see what we can learn from her. Why are we doing this? Why did we talk about Jacob last week? Why are we talking about Leah today? Next week, stay tuned. Well, it's because we dig into Scripture to know our family stories. These people are our family, and we need to hear the good news about God and what he's done in Israel and through Jesus to set the work of salvation in motion. Every good sermon stands with one foot in the historic testimony of the people of God and the other foot standing in the present experience as God's people. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to make me little and you be big. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm about to compare two women. Now, it's usually not good to compare one person to another, but the Bible does it in this case, so here we go. Now, unfortunately, in ancient days, and even today, a woman's looks determines her life, whether you like it or not. It's often the case. Leah means, are you ready for this? There's no Leahs in the room, is there? Leah means wild cow. Rachel means little lamb. The Bible tells us Leah, the older sister, had weak eyes. The Hebraic euphemism means ugly, very plain, weary. Some say this means she was cross-eyed. Others say bug-eyed. And some say she couldn't keep her eyes open, just squinting all the time. But Rachel, she was a knockout gorgeous beauty. In face and form, the Bible only lists two women as having an incredible figure, Rachel and Esther. Think about it. The Bible, the holy word of God, wants you to know that Rachel had a gorgeous figure. It's important for us to know, apparently. She is the dream girl. No wonder Jacob falls in love with her immediately. For Jacob, who deceived his father and ran for his life away from his brother Esau, he needed a win. He had a goal. If Rachel would be my wife, then all will be well and I will be happy and life will be good. He was infatuated with her from first sight. He had an image in his mind of how to be blessed. He didn't even know her, but he came up with the deal to work for 7 years for Rachel to be his wife, way more than what was customary for the dowry for a wife in those days. But that's how much his love for her extended. The Bible tells us working for 7 years was like days to him, so much did he love Rachel. It would be safe to say that Rachel was like an idol to him. He didn't even think about much else, didn't devote time to anything but her and working to attain his goal in being her husband. Like a lot of us, hard work and perseverance paid off. For Jacob, 7 years has passed, and it's time to marry Rachel. Oh. Except we read that the deceiver Jacob is now the deceived. Leah was minding her own business, probably helping everyone prepare for Rachel's wedding and getting her sister ready, and suddenly her dad Laban said, "You go in the bridal tent." Did she try to argue? Was there screaming and fighting? We don't know. But the heavily veiled, hidden bride, along with lots of drinking, the darkness of the tent, and all the hoopla, Jacob is now married. Ah, yes. Then the morning light came, and there was Leah. What? What a cruel trick played on Jacob and on Rachel and on Leah. But today we're focused on Leah. Can you imagine the hurt and shame Leah felt when Jacob recoiled in disgust and anger when he looked upon the sister that he didn't pine for, work for, plan for, and desire? For one night, Leah felt the adoration, the rejoicing, and the love of the man she was married to. But then he saw her face and realized. The Bible tells us he was furious. We don't hear what Leah experienced or felt, but it was just the beginning. She would spend the next several years trying to earn the love of a man who loved her sister. And I didn't even know this, but some refer to disappointments as Leah in the morning, meaning a complete and awful disappointment. So utter disappointments, what are yours? There are brand new studies out from 2011 and 2021 that are published on the science of the brain when you experience rejection. Scans show that the exact same circuitry in your brain lights up when a kidney stone passes or when you have a bowel obstruction as when you experience rejection. You can listen yourself to Dr. Lori Santos on her podcast, Treating the Pain of a Broken Heart, from last month, very recent. This news has shocked the neuroscience community. You know, we rush people into care when they're in physical pain, but when a social bond is broken or emotional havoc like rejection occurs, we leave people to handle that on their own. It must be taken seriously because the brain doesn't decipher between them. So imagine poor Leah. So then we know it was like a physical blow as well as a spiritual and emotional one to be so rejected by her husband. So what happens next? She gets pregnant from the time Jacob was forced to finish up the bridal week before Laban gave his younger daughter Rachel to him in exchange for another 7 years. And here is where we see Leah work so hard to earn her husband's love for the next several years. And we know how she feels based on the name she gives her sons. All right, so she knows she's unloved, but she hangs on and she strives to win Jacob. She gives birth to her first son, the oldest of the 12 tribes of Israel, and she names him Reuben, Ra'ah, to see, look, a son. His name means, now my husband will see me, but he doesn't. But Leah gives birth to a second son and names him Simeon, Shema, to hear, to listen. His name means, now my husband will hear me, but he doesn't. She gives birth to a third son. She names him Levi, which means, now he will attach to me, finally he will love me. He doesn't. You cannot earn love because it's a gift. Jacob still just wanted Rachel. God had closed up her womb, and she was horrified by it. But Jacob loved Rachel anyway. Having sons in those days was a huge, huge, huge deal. But not even three sons could make Jacob see Leah, hear Leah, or be attached to Leah. Finally, when Leah gives birth to her fourth son, something happens. She names him Judah. His name means, I'll praise the Lord. As Leah's identity was reshaped in the light of the truth of God's love, her perspective completely changed. The only love that matters is the love of God, and when you find it, you praise the Lord. Nothing in this world will ever satisfy, only God. Now, those men stole her life, and God's love gave her liberation. So she took her life back. Now she will bask in the love of her God, and her pursuit is now to live for the Lord. For this, she had made an idol of her husband and of her single-minded comparison to her sister, and she realized that God sees her as worthy, What a breakthrough. Now there's freedom in her life. Jealousy had blinded her to God's blessing, but God pursued her when no one else did. So what is your thing? The deepest adoration of your life that you put in front of God. What or who is your Savior? If it's a human, you will often be so disappointed. If it's an unmet goal, like for Rachel, it was to have a son, and for a long time, she was miserable. The beloved one of Jacob was jealous of Leah for her fertility. Now, I wanted to be honest and vulnerable with you today. My idol, my most precious thing that I put above God was Maya and Ulrich. You probably know that if you know me. But then they grew up and they moved away and they have their own lives. Now I have to be so careful not to let Elsie, Addie, and Evie be my idol, because that would be ridiculous. Your all in all needs to be the Lord. But they're my identity. When I'm asked to introduce myself, I say, hi, I'm Lisa Sundell Olsen. I'm grandma, mother's mother, to Elsie, Addie, and Evie. Why don't I just say, hi, I'm Lisa, daughter of the Most High God? Well, that other scripture today that was read is my favorite, Romans 8. Oh, my word. And I could talk about that for hours, but I'm keeping it 20 minutes. And what we know in that verse, the part of Romans 8:28 that says, we know that in all things, how many things? All things. God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Now, not everything that happens in life that seems right is right. And things that happen that are tragic and senseless can be redeemed. Although what Leah's father did to her was deceptive and cruel, things did work together for good. It wasn't easy because plural marriage is not God's best for us. And the intense shame Leah was made to feel about being the unloved wife was not God's best for her. The disunity between sisters was intense. But the way that Leah found the Lord in the midst of her childbearing years was beautiful. Or a better way of saying it is, the Lord loved Leah and she finally responded to him. In the midst of pain, believers often question how the path of suffering leads to glory. First, the distinction of what is good, as in all things work together for good. Because if good means health, wealth, popularity, promotion, and comfortable living, then the promise isn't true. Experience has proven that this kind of good falls short of God's guaranteed goal. Many live in poverty, many lack good health. So what is this good? The greatest good is for God to make believers like Jesus Christ. No higher good exists for any human being. And you will begin to see yourself, your circumstances, other believers, and the world differently. And we are secure in his protection. Romans 8:31 asks, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now Leah knew who was against her, and we know who our enemy is. The world is against believers. Our own sinful flesh opposes us constantly, and Satan hates God's people. Many are against us. But the first half of that question brings hope. What are these enemies' powers when God is for us? But what if God grows weary of our sin and forgets about us? Will bad things happen if we don't perform well enough? Paul answers these fears in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? We might think our unworthiness may limit God's generosity, but God is a good father. God's family is a forever family. And God's already given us his greatest gift, his only son, and that great promise secures every other promise. God is eternally committed to an active, intimate relationship with you. So how did things turn out for Leah? As you read on in Genesis, you find out that Leah's third son, Levi, makes up the tribe of priests, meaning all the priests of God's chosen nation are from Leah and Jacob's line through Levi. And then the very best news of her whole entire life, That fourth son, the one where Leah finally turns her attention fully to God and recognized the love of her life is God, it was this son, Judah, from whom King David came 12 generations later. And then 28 generations after that, he was born our Savior Jesus Christ. So Leah gets to be the great, 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 great grandmother to the Son of God. When Leah goes on to have more sons, she said, "Happy am I. Daughters will call me blessed." She had her fifth son, Issachar, which means God rewarded me, or there is recompense. And then when she had her sixth son, she called him Zebulun, which means God has honored me, God dwells with me. Then she had a daughter, thank the Lord for girls, and named her Dinah. There are a lot of lessons from Leah. Humans can compliment you, but they cannot validate you. People may not see your true value, but God does. And my favorite, our praise of God and worship of him should not be contingent on circumstances. In spite of everything and anything, always have praise of God first and foremost. And this sermon was such a blessing to me to write during these past weeks when I was so sad. I praised God despite the circumstances around us, and he saw me, he heard me, and he comforted me. So our life needs to be founded on worship and praise, regardless of circumstances, because choice changes everything. Choose joy. Choose praise. We go through things in life that are hard, and we're often rejected. Being in ministry for God does not mean smooth sailing. In rough times, be a worshiper of God. Because when you have a posture of praise for God, that is a position of power. You are free to be confident in knowing that the best love, the love that matters most, already belongs to you. Are you disappointed by earthly aspirations of love? Marilyn Monroe said shortly before she died, "I have given my life in search for limitless love, and I've never found it." She had the attention of the whole world, but never felt loved. And we can't worship God when we're so distracted by others' love for us. Try praising the Lord in your sorrow. No matter the problem, love is the answer. Love builds, it restores, it protects, it gives and forgives, and it enriches. And the giver of this love is from Jesus. His love gives us everything we need to accomplish his purposes for our lives, and his love transforms us. The bulletin cover today is so good, isn't it? I was telling Kirsten, I hope I don't get in trouble. I got it off of Pinterest. So I think that's a public domain. If not, hide it. Don't show anybody. Imagine that woman is Leah. She was told all these things and tried so hard to stop the lies screaming at her by attempting to win the love of her husband. She believed if only her husband loved her, it wouldn't matter how other people felt or what her sister said. But wooing Jacob away from Rachel was not going to happen till she was dead. And even then, after Rachel was dead, Jacob carried a torch for Rachel so strong that it was her son Joseph was his very favorite. Coat of many colors guy, that's Rachel's son. And then Rachel's second son, Benjamin, was Jacob's second favorite son. Sheesh. However, since Rachel died in childbirth, that left only Leah as a wife for Jacob for most of their married life. Leah was the one who raised those sons. And when Leah died, she was laid to rest next to Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca. And a few years after Leah's death and burial, Jacob gave instructions to have Joseph and the boys make the journey from Egypt to Canaan, which is now Israel, to lay him next to his first wife, Leah. We did see Rachel's tomb is well marked all over Bethlehem. You can see the signs, point here, Rachel's tomb, Rachel's tomb. But we didn't go visit because I realized I'm Team Leah. So are you willing to apply the following statements? God may call you to exchange what is good now for something hard but ultimately better. And two, whatever your current situation, regardless of how you got there, God will work with you for your good and his glory. and God's promises frees you to step out in faith and follow him without reservation. Now, those final verses of Romans 8 are Paul's personal testimony. And I think Leah, all those centuries before Paul, found this to be her experience too. So let this be for us our complete and total stance. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.
It's now time to bring our offerings to the Lord, our gifts, our tithes, our service, our testimony. So as we are singing, you can bring your offerings forward. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are chosen by you and a child of yours, a child of love. How you are smiling upon each and every one here. Let them know your love. You are the giver of all good gifts. So we return a portion of that to you today to bless you, to work with you, to trust you in all circumstances. Oh, we love you. Receive our worship and our gifts. You are worthy of our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Don't forget to fellowship and take time to visit one another and catch up. And there's plenty of food downstairs. There's the farmer's market. But know that God loves you. He goes before you. His light is shining upon you. His passion is within you. Go and tell the world that Jesus loves them. Amen.